Now the epistle to be read for the Feast of the North American Martyrs is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12. Brethren, I ought to have been commended by you, for I have no way come short of them that are above measure apostles. Although I be nothing, yet the signs of my apostleship have been wrought on you in all patience, in signs, in wonders, and mighty deeds. For what is there that you have had less than the other churches, but that I myself was not burdensome to you? Pardon me this injury. Behold, now the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome unto you. For I seek not the things that are yours, but you. For neither ought the children to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. But I most gladly will spend and be spent myself for your souls, although loving you more, I be loved less. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 6. At that time, Jesus, coming down from the mountain, stood in a plain place, and the company of his disciples and a very great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coasts, both of Tyre and Sidon, who were come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the multitude sought to touch him, for virtue went out from him and healed all. And he, lifting up his eyes on his disciples, said, Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed shall you be when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you, and shall reproach you, and shall cast out your name as evil. For the Son of Man's sake, be glad in that day and rejoice, for behold, your reward is very great in heaven. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Be glad and rejoice, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Words taken from today's Gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, on June 29th in the year 1930, Pope Pius XI canonized St. Isaac Jogues, St. Jean de Brébeuf, St. Anthony Daniel, St. René Goupil, St. Jean de Lalonde, St. Charles Garnier, St. Gabriel d'Alemon, and St. Noel Chabanel. These eight saints are known to us as the North American Martyrs. They were martyred in the years 1642 to 1649. But the Church collectively celebrates their feasts each year on September the 26th. Some were martyred in Canada and some in what was to become the state of New York. Now, I would like to tell you in particular this morning the story of St. René Goupil. René Goupil was born in France in the village of Saint-Martin-du-Bois in the year 1608. As a young man, he studied medicine. He completed his studies and was working as a surgeon in the city of Orléans. But desiring to serve Christ in the religious life, he gave up his prestigious medical practice and entered the Society of Jesus in 1639. He offered himself to serve the priests of the society as a lay brother. It was shortly after that he volunteered for the missions among the Huron Indians in Canada, which at that time was called New France. He arrived at Quebec in the year 1640. From 1640 to 1642, he served at the Jesuit mission near Quebec. And there he was charged with the care of the hospital and tending to the sick and the injured. But that summer of 1642, the young physician was chosen by his superiors to accompany the already famous Father Isaac Jogues to Huronia. Huronia was the vast nation of the Huron Indian tribes. It was about 900 miles west of Quebec and comprised what is now Ontario, Canada, and parts of northwestern New York. St. Isaac Jogues had returned to Quebec from Huronia in order to obtain help and badly needed supplies for his fellow missionary priests. And thus it was on the morning of August 2, 1642, that Isaac Jogues, René Goupil, four other Frenchmen, and 40 Huron Indians set out in 12 large canoes. But it was not long after when they suddenly heard, as one historian put it, the war cry of the Iroquois Indians rise from among the rushes. Even as several canoes filled with Iroquois Indian warriors came out from their concealment and quickly made their way towards Isaac Jogues and his companions. Most of the Huron Indians panicked, leapt out of their canoes, swam to shore, and escaped deep into the woods, abandoning their French benefactors. The Iroquois then overwhelmed the small company, and any resistance was now futile. This historian continues, René Goupil was seized amid triumphant yells, as also were several Huron Indian Catholic converts. Isaac Jogues sprang into the bulrushes and might have escaped, but when he saw Goupil and the Catholic Huron Indians in the clutches of the Iroquois, he had no heart to abandon them, but came out from his hiding place and surrendered himself to his astonished victors. This historian then goes on to describe in vast detail how the French, Isaac Jogues, René Goupil, and others, and the Indians, the Catholic Huron Indians, were then mercilessly beaten with clubs, fists, despoiled of all their garments. Some even had their fingers gnawed off by the Iroquois. They were taken to the Mohawk Indian villages in what is now New York State. And as they approached the village, a certain historian wrote that the hoops of the victors announced their approach, and the savage hive sent forth its swarms. And by this he meant to say, as he continues, that the Indians, the Iroquois Indians, thronged the side of the hill, old and young, each holding a stick or a slender iron rod. They ranged themselves in a double line, reaching upward to the entrance of the village, and through this, the captives were led single file. And as they passed, this historian says, they were saluted with yells, screeches, and a tempest of blows. The three Frenchmen had fared the worst and were frightfully disfigured. Goupil, he says, especially was streaming with blood, livid with bruises from head to foot. The men were then placed upon a scaffold where they were further tortured. During the night, they were tied up in a house where little Indian children amused themselves by placing hot burning coals on the bare backs of their bodies. These tortures and more went on for several days. Now at length a war council was called by the Iroquois chiefs to decide what they were to do with the captives. Whether they should kill the Frenchmen, Isaac Jogues and René Goupil, or let them live among them. Now, since the council could not reach a unanimous decision to put them to death, the two saints were permitted to live in the village. Though they were constantly threatened with death and often the object of some kind of cruelty. But both wasted no time, as it were. Father Jogues baptized as many dying infant Indians as he could. René Goupil had drawn the attention of the little children, and over a few weeks he gained their trust. And knowing that he had their attention, as these little Indians constantly followed him throughout the village, he began to speak to them about the one true God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, even as he taught the little ones how to make the sign of the cross. On one occasion, this historian writes, he made the sign of the cross on the forehead of a child. This child was the grandson of the Indian in whose lodge Goupil and Jogues were living. But the superstition of the old savage was aroused. He thought that Goupil was putting a curse on his grandson, and resolving to rid himself of so dangerous a guest, he asked the help of two young Indian braves. And here is what happened. It was shortly after this, September 29th to be exact, that Father Jogues and René Goupil were walking together in the woods around the village. They were exhorting each other to suffer patiently for the sake of Christ and the Most Blessed Virgin. And as they were making their way back to the village praying the Holy Rosary, the two Indian braves suddenly appeared to meet them. They said nothing to the saints, but as Isaac Jogues would later record, trouble was written all over their faces. The Indians joined them and accompanied them to the entrance of the town. And it was there that one of the two suddenly drew a hatchet from beneath his blanket and struck it into the head of René Goupil, who felt murmuring the name of Christ. Jogues instantly dropped on his knees, and bowing his head in prayer, he awaited a blow as well. But the murderer ordered Jogues to get up and go back to his lodge. Jogues obeyed, but not until he had first given sacramental absolution to the dying René Goupil. Saint René Goupil thus died on September the 29th in the year 1642 at what is now Auriesville, New York. He was the first of the North American martyrs to die for Christ. He was put to death on account of the sign of the cross. And thus, my dear friends, in a certain sense, he is a martyr of the cross. And he was worthy to be a martyr of the cross because René Goupil first became a friend of the cross. And by this I mean each day he strived to patiently bear and endure the sufferings, the trials, and the crosses of his state in life. And thus did he bless God and not complain. He blessed God and did not complain in times of sickness, in times of trial, in times of difficulties. Even as he bore the cruelties and savagery of the Indians with such patience, meekness, and charity, never holding in his heart a grudge against them, but rather always forgiving them from his heart. And all of this he did for the love of Christ and the salvation of souls. Now, while it is true that all Catholics are not called to the same martyrdom of Saint René Goupil and his fellow North American martyrs, although it is not impossible, my dear friends, that perhaps one day we might be, still all Catholics are called to the martyrdom of the cross. That is to say, as true disciples of Christ, we are called to patiently bear trials and tribulations, especially those of our own state in life. These things are, in a sense, a type of martyrdom. We are thus called to be kind to others in thought, word, and deed, even if they are not kind to us. We are called to be patient with others when things don't go our way, rather than give in to complaining. We are called to be meek, that is, to bear insults and injustices without anger, without hatred, or desire for revenge. Let us then strive to imitate the charity, the patience, and even the confidence of the North American martyrs, and strive to patiently bear the crosses, the sufferings, and hardships of our own state in life, having the utmost confidence in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who has assured us that those who patiently suffer such things for love of Him ought to be glad and to rejoice, for their reward is great in heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.